All right, so you can see up on your screen this morning's passages from Matthew 15, or rather Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. And this is a passage that comes right after what we know as the Beatitudes. And early on in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking, he's on a hill, and he's speaking to many people gathered around. And so he said these words after the blessings, the Beatitudes. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So the message this morning is my mission. And so we'll be exploring what is our own mission in life. Why did God put us on the planet? What is it that we're here for? And what does God have in mind for our journey ahead as a church? And my mission could also apply to all of us. Because the passage we read this morning was actually about you all. Anybody from the South? You all are the salt of the earth. And so this is something that pertains to all of us as the body of Christ. Now, salt. We learned a little bit about salt. Did you know there's a store in Portland that has over 75 varieties of salt. Did you know that? I actually learned that the other day. I was on a home visit, and someone else was there with me. I didn't ask her if I could say this, so I won't mention who it is. But anyway, she was there, and she mentioned that there was this store in Portland that has over 75 different kinds of salt. It has a Himalayan salt. It has Asian salt, you know, Japanese salt. It has a Himalayan ice block that you can cook on. It's phenomenal what's out there, salt. How many of you use salt generously? All right. Now, I'm talking about sea salt and Morton salt, okay? All right. How many of you avoid salt rigorously? Any hands? All right. So we're going to pray for you. So when we think of salt, what do we think of? We think of what we were talking about with the children. We think of seasoning. We think about the salt that's on the table and that we put on those foods that need seasoning. Have you ever noticed that when you put salt on an entree, how the chef feels insulted? Have you ever noticed that? So salt is deeply embedded in our culture. But it's embedded in other cultures in other ways. What other ways do we use salt? As a what? Yes, preservation, that's right. Now, we don't use it so, I mean, we can use it into something, into food, and then have it in the fridge, and it'll stay a little longer. They do that especially in the Europe quite a bit as a preservative. Anything else?
Ice cream.
Ice cream makers, yes. That's right, yeah.
For healing,
absolutely. They're healing salt, Epsom salt, yeah, absolutely.
Melt ice.
Melt ice. Yes. Nice. All right. Well, there is. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, is he saying, you are the agent that will melt the earth? Is he? No. Is he saying, you are what will provide a little taste to life? Huh? Yeah, maybe. A little bit of that. When we think of the salt of the earth, who do you think of? Let me tell you who I think of. I think of this couple, 1930, a guy named Grant painted a painting called American Gothic. Got the guy on the right and the woman on the left, and he's got the pitchfork and she has the apron on. Remember that? You have that in your head? Some of you may be too young. No? All right. So they're standing there, and they're behind them is their house, and they're on a farm, a homestead. And when we think of salt of the earth, I think of this couple, or we think of somebody who is just a real standard in society. But I want to explore this. Is Jesus saying, you are the standard in society? Are you the seasoning for people's meals, that they get more pleasure out of life? Now, I want to mention healing. Salt is a healing agent. I could hear Jesus saying, you are the healing agent for the world. And that's moving in the direction, I think, of where what he was saying. But I don't think we even quite have it yet. You see, because in order to understand what he's saying when he says, you are the salt of the earth, there's something that we don't have in place yet. And let's take a look and see what that might be. So in the Middle East, the Mediterranean, ancient Mediterranean world, they cooked by using earth ovens. And the word for earth that Jesus uses in the original language in Hebrew is arsa, A-R-S-A. And arsa means, yes, it means earth, but it also means earth oven. Earth oven. So when Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth, he may be saying, you are the salt of the earth oven. All right, still question marked. What in the world does that mean? Where are you going, Sayer? Let's explore a little further. So how do these ovens work? So these ovens work where you start out, the young girls of the family, their chore was to go out and collect, are you ready for this? They would go out and collect the camel dung. All right, the camel dung. Your job was to go out and get the camel dung, and they didn't have, surgery gloves back then. All right, the camel dung, all of the other animal dung that's handy around on the ground. They would collect that, and then they would make them into patties. All right, we're not having camel patties for lunch today after worship. But they would make these into patties, and they would add salt into the patties. And the reason they would add salt into the patties is so that the fire would burn, and the dung patties would go into the earth oven as a charcoal, if you will, for the fire. Now, not only that, but the way this earth oven works for them is they put a block of Himalayan, no, I'm just kidding. They put a block of salt at the bottom of the earth oven. And this is the catalyst that sparks the fire. It helps the fire burn. Are you with me? So Jesus, and so this salt block can lose its saltiness. All right? The Morton salt won't lose its saltiness, won't lose its taste, but it will lose its ability to start a fire. So even then, things didn't work forever. All right? Dishwasher breaks down, you know, our oven is about to break down, you know, things break down. And so they could only use it for a certain time, and what they would do is they would throw it out and put it in those muddy places in their yard as basically a walkway over those sometimes muddy places. Are you with me? So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth oven. You are the catalyst that causes the fire to spark and go. You are the spark plug that moves the engine. You are the barbecue lighter fluid that flames your steaks of the earth. You are maybe the only sermon that your neighbor ever hears. You may be the owner of the barbecue. You see that? This is you. And Jesus is saying, you are the spark that causes the fires to burst into action. You are the one that causes the Holy Spirit to be on the move in your neighbors. You are the one that is the church in the world, alive and active and moving and praying and healing and listening and learning. You're the one that brings healing. And yes, you'll cause people pleasure in your healing, in your listening, in your being a friend with them. But more than that, you'll be the flame. As long as you're plugged in. As long as you're plugged in. And you see, that's the issue. Because Jesus says that if salt has lost its saltiness, if salt had lost its ability to spark the flame, if the lighter fluid no longer lights a fire, then it's of no use. And it's only of use in throwing out and being trampled underfoot. In fact, just before he says, you are the salt of the earth, he gives us these blessings. And if you are not plugged in, if your lighter doesn't light, if you're not connected, then these blessings are not yours. Then you are not the poor in spirit. You are not humble to say that, God, you are my God. You are my Savior, but not me. You're the one that causes the healing. You're the one that causes the moving. You're the one that causes the transformation in my life, your church, and in the world. If we're not plugged in, if we're not the salt that still has its saltiness, its ability to be lighter fluid on the barbecue, then we're not those who can mourn. We're not those who can feel deeply. Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. And so salt has lost its saltiness when we're not able to mourn, when we're not able to feel, when we're not able to acknowledge the hurts, the pains, the losses, the grief. The church is feeling a grief in knowing what it once was and yearning again to be vital and alive and thriving. And maybe you, in your own family, in your own life, are yearning to thrive, yearning for something more than you have, to be of influence more than you are, to be a healer more than you are, to be a listener more than you listen, to spark the flame of the Spirit at work in your neighbors, in your family, in your work, in everything you do. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Without any saltiness in you and I, we've lost our yearning. We've lost our longing to be God's people. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in spirit. And without the flame in us, without the saltiness in us, our spirit is not poor, or rather, our spirit is not pure. We're cluttered with all the thoughts of the day. We're cluttered with the pains, the negatives, with the small image, the small vision of who we are. And God's saying, it's bigger, it's bigger. Imagine how big I am, God says. It's too small. Too small yet. Imagine what I've designed you for on the planet. And think again. And again. And again. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And without the saltiness being within us, without the salt of our being, being a saltiness that can light a fire of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us, we can make no peace. Last week, I was talking about this process of unity and how disunity comes about initially when first we make our own individual. We see ourselves as individuals and not as the body of Christ. We have our own personal lifeboats. It's no bigger than the size for one person. When the Titanic crashed, there were many lifeboats, and many of them set off with many seats left to be filled, and children and women and men still on the boat, anguishing out. And like Adam and Eve, who went out of the boats on their home, we've all been doing it in our lives. But we can only be peacemakers when we're willing to be in conflict. When we're willing to say, here's what I think. And know in confidence we can say it as a body of Christ. Last week I said things begin in conversation. Conversation leads to opinion. Opinion leads to discussion. Discussion leads to dispute. Dispute leads to debate. And debate leads to division. But that's only when we're in our individual boats. It's when we step out of our individual boats and step into the boat that is the body of Christ and let the salt be in us. Then we can face every conflict boldly with each other and say, here's what I think, here's what I know, here's what I've experienced of the Spirit. What if we tried this experiment? And we can boldly hear each other out and work through our conflicts and be the peacemakers of the world. Precious God, we want to be pure in heart. We want to be the peacemakers. We want to be the meek. We want to be the poor in spirit. We want to be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the bringing about of your way, your church. Let our saltiness stay salty. Let's stay plugged in with you. And if we will, we'll be asking these questions. You will be asking questions of ourselves about those hurts we've not dealt with, about those giftings God has given us that we've not used, about the doubts we've been afraid to confront. And we'll be asking questions of God, boldly and confidently saying, God, show me what you want me to see of my own hurts and pains. Show me what you want me to see of what you're doing, that I may come alongside and do it too, that we may join together. And third, we must be willing to ask questions of others, those we don't know well, maybe in the coffee shop, maybe at work, maybe the neighbor we've only said hi and a wave across the street to. I tried to sign up as a soccer coach with the McMinnville City for the boys' second grade soccer team. And I offered to sign up, and I was thrilled and looking forward to do this, in part because, well, my sons want to play soccer, and I want to be with them, spend time with them. But I also want to be the salt of spark among the parents and the kids. Guess what? The sports recreation manager called me up, and maybe, Lori, you could do something about this. He emailed me and said, Sayre, thank you for offering. I had this great problem. I had more volunteers than I had positions. And so I've assigned, and then he mentioned someone else. And I was disappointed. And I'm guessing that you and I, don't you feel in your heart that if at the end of the day you never were able to open yourselves up, say, God, I want to be the spark, the lighter fluid for something happening in my life, in my family, in your church, and in the world, in McMinnville even, would that be something you'd feel disappointed about? Even if someone turns you down, is to keep on making the choice. I want to be the salt of the earth.